Here we're going to, this morning, with the Lord's help, the Lord's laid on our hearts to, for the next couple of services. I'm not sure if we'll do it on a Sunday night or not. It just depends on how much we get through on Sunday mornings. But this Sunday morning and next Sunday morning, to look at the cross. And there's a lot of things you can look at when you begin to study the cross and to look at the scene of the cross and all that the Bible tells us about the cross. And I do want to say this morning, just by way of introduction, that, you know, Hollywood is putting out a lot of movies, has been and is, about biblical things. And they never get it right, by the way. They never get it right, and sometimes they get it more wrong than other times, but they always get it wrong. And they still don't get it right. And several years ago, there was a movie that come out, The Passion, and some of y'all probably remember that. And maybe some of you even saw it. But there was so much wrong in that movie we're not even going to go into, that was so unscriptural in so many ways. And there was some truth in it as well, but a lot of false things as well. But this morning, let's look at what the Bible says about the cross, is what I'm saying. Don't get caught up in what you may have seen in some TV movie or something depicted of the cross, but what the Bible says about the cross is what actually took place and happened. And this morning, there's so much about the cross that we could look at, but for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at, Lord willing, with His help, the seven sayings from the cross. And probably all of you have taken it sometime and read the seven sayings and the seven words that Jesus spoke there at the cross of Calvary. And we're going to kind of the next couple of weeks look at these and the meaning of them and what's in those seven sayings. I believe there's so much that could be, that we could learn and glean from and see in the seven different times that Jesus spoke there that we have recorded from the cross of Calvary. The first one, here in Luke 23 and verse number 32, it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one of them on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you this morning for how good you've been to us, dear Lord. We thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, that you shower upon us each and every single day. We thank you this morning for giving us the health and the strength, dear Lord, and the ability to get up out of bed, dear Lord, to get ready and to be able to come to church this morning, to be here. I know there's many, dear Lord, who would like to have been able to do that this morning, but they're physically unable. And dear Father, we pray this morning that you would just help us this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood, that fountain is there. That, dear Father, that your blood was shed, that our sins might be cleansed, forgiven, washed away, so that we might be saved, and that we might have a place in heaven one day to spend eternally with you. Dear Father, I pray as we begin this morning to look at the cross and all that you went through and all that you endured there for us. I pray that you would help us this morning, that you would help us to have a fresh look, dear Lord, of what you actually went through and did there on the cross for each and every single one of us and for each person that's ever been born. You died there for us. Dear Lord, help us to see this cross, dear Lord, that you died on, to see all that you went through with a new, dear Lord, a vision. Dear Lord, with a renewed vision to share the gospel message with others, with a renewed heart and a new vision, dear Lord, to serve you more with our lives. Dear Lord, thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for shedding your blood and dying there for me, for rising again 3 days later. Thank you for all that you did there just for me. Dear Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would work in our midst and in our hearts and in my heart. I pray that as your word is read, dear Lord, that you would empower us, that you would speak through us, that you just simply use me this morning as your instrument, as your vessel, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, you empty me full of myself, but fill me totally of you. Give me that anointing, that unction from on high, dear Lord. Nothing will be said or done this morning that'll help anybody if your Holy Spirit don't do the speaking and the teaching and the preaching this morning. Dear Lord, we give this time to you. We ask this morning that you would meet each need in each heart, and that you'd accomplish your will in this hour. Thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for all that you've done. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross. We see here that there was two others beside Him. We see one on each side. We know these other two, we'll get into this a little bit more later on this morning, Lord willing. We know that the other two, the malefactors that's mentioned, were condemned criminals. We know that both of them deserved to be in this place that they were at. They had committed crimes. They were guilty. They were, to use the word that's going to be used later on by the Scripture, they were condemned. They were under condemnation. They had committed the crimes. They were guilty, and they deserved to be here. But we know the Lord Jesus Christ was a different story. Amen. We know that He was without sin. We know that He was not guilty. He had never done anything wrong. Amen. There's some today that don't believe that. There's some today that believe Jesus was just a good man and believe that He sinned. Jesus did not sin. The Bible tells us that He knew no sin, that He was without sin. He was perfect in that He was God, and God does not sin. So was the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know the time that the devil come and tempted Him in the wilderness, He resisted all those temptations. He did not give in, and we know that temptation is not sin. And so the Lord did not sin at all. He was perfect. He was not guilty. He was not worthy, if you will, of this crucifixion that He was there getting ready to go through and that He was going through here. As it says in verse 33, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. But the first saying there from the cross found in verse 34, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now I want you, if you will, this morning, not to be disrespectful by no means, but I want you this morning to realize that Jesus here on the cross, He was fully God. We know that. But He was also fully man. Christ incarnate. And here He is on the cross being crucified. And I want you to think with me, if you had been there and if you had been on the cross being crucified, what have you said? What would have come out of your mouth and what would have come out of my mouth? If we were taken and today, even in our modern day, if you were taken and condemned, and we don't do this nowadays, we hardly even do lethal injection or anything anymore to those that deserve it and it's been condemned and guilty. But anyway, if you were being crucified, what would you say? What would you say? What would I say? I thought about that as I took and studied over these things and saw what Jesus did there on the cross and looked at them again. What would I say? What would you say? As I thought about myself, I thought, you know, there's no telling what you'd say or do to be in that position. All that He went through before He even made it to the cross, the scourging, the beating, the spitting upon that we even mentioned this morning in Sunday school. All that He went through, here He is on the cross. What would you say? Here, the first thing that Jesus said from the cross, He was addressing His Father God. I found that interesting. The first thing that He said, He was addressing His Father. In other words, we might say this, when we address the Father, it's prayer. Here He was, the first thing that He said there from the cross was a prayer. He was talking to God, talking to His Father. He said, "Father, forgive them." I find it so amazing, the first thing that He said here from the cross that was quoted in Scripture wasn't, "Father, get me down off this cross." I'll be honest, something of that nature probably is what I may have said, "Lord, get me off of this cross. Get me out of this. Deliver me from this." Or maybe if you felt like you was hopeless and wasn't going to get down off that cross, you might say, "Father, let this end quickly. I want to be with You." But Jesus didn't pray that here. He didn't say that. Notice He's addressing His Father. He's talking to the Father as He did often throughout His earthly ministry, right? We know He prayed to the Father all the time. Saw before this, the Garden of Gethsemane. But here He is in the pain and the agony of the cross, and He's saying, "Father, forgive them." He didn't say, "Father, forgive me," because He had done nothing wrong. He said, "Father, forgive them." There's so much in this statement that we could look at and that could be mentioned. But here He said, "Forgive them." I ask you this question. Here we see He's addressing the Father, but here we see also a request. And the question is this morning. What was the request? The request was to forgive them. Who is the them? I believe right off the bat we see that The them is talking about, we could say, those that were, if you will, crucifying him. Those that had condemned him, if you will, an innocent man. Here he was there on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them for what they're doing. Crucifying me for doing this. Forgive them. But notice, for they know not what they do. He said, Father, forgive them. I believe he was talking about those that were there, standing there, those that were present that day in the word them. But I believe that word goes even deeper than that. And he was saying, Father, forgive them. In other words, you and I, all mankind. Father, forgive them. Why? Because it wasn't just those Roman soldiers. It wasn't just Pilate. It wasn't just those that, if you will, that were there that put him on that cross. It was mine and your sins why he went there to that cross. It was because of us that he was there. He was born to die on Calvary. He came to seek and to save, as we mentioned in Sunday school, that which was lost. You see, that's why the Lord came. And here he died on that cross so that you and I might be forgiven, so that we might have forgiveness of sins, so that our sins might be washed away under the blood, like we talked about and sung about a while ago in those songs. You see, here he was concerned about, if you will, the lost, concerned about the sinner, just as he was with Zacchaeus, just as if he had always been. He was concerned about others. As he said, Father, forgive them this morning. Forgive them. It was us that he died for. It was us he was praying to forgive, but also for them. You see, I believe this morning, and we could argue about this, but I don't believe this morning these men realized who it was they were crucifying. I don't believe they realized that this was the very Son of God. I don't believe they realized this. This was God. This was His only begotten Son that they were crucifying there on this cross. They just thought He was a good man. They just thought He was a prophet. They just thought that here was this insurrectionist causing all these uprisings and all this trouble and problems. They didn't realize who Jesus was. And here they were crucifying Him. And He said, Father, forgive them. But it was there on that cross that He died for their sins and for ours. He came to die so that you and I might be saved. Turn to John chapter number 15 with me, if you would. John chapter number 15. Perhaps some of you have asked this question. I know I've thought about it many times. Why did the Lord die on that cross of Calvary? We know He did it for us. But why? Why would He die? Why would He go through and be crucified? Why would He go through all of the things that took place, the crucifixion, the scourging, the spitting upon, the beating? Why would He go through all of that He went through there? Why? Yes, for us, but why for us? Why? Because we're sinners, yes, but why would He do that? Because He loved us. Because of His great love for us, that deep love that He had for us. Because of the love of God, that's why He would take and send His only Son for you and for me. John 15 and verse number 13 tells us this. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. May I say this morning that the Lord took and He laid down His life there on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Why? Because He loved us. Why did He take? The Bible tells us in John 3:16, does it not? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus die on that cross? It was so that you and I might be forgiven. It was so that you and I might be born again, so that you and I might have our sins forgiven, because there had to be payment made for our sins. There had to be atonement. And we know the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You see, there had to be a final sacrifice once and for all, a perfect lamb. And we know the lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He said, Father, forgive them. Yes, speaking of those that was around, but speaking about us as well. Why did He die there? It was because of His love. I found it interesting, the words of verse 13. It said that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, it'd be different if a man had his life taken, right? Means no choice. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have His life taken. He laid down His life. He willingly gave up Himself there on Calvary. He shed His blood so that you and I might be saved. You can believe what you want to this morning, but I'm one of those that believe that when they took and nailed Jesus' hands to the cross, and by the way, they did nail them. Sometimes you see it depicted as a rope or something like that, and they did do that some back in those days, but it was nails. We know that because when Thomas spoke, he talked about the nail prints in His hands. And so Jesus was nailed to the cross. There's no question about that. But and His feet also were nailed. But as He was nailed to that cross, you can believe what you want, but I believe that Jesus took and laid His hand out there. I don't believe they had to take and wrestle Him down and fight Him as He was trying to kick and get up off that cross. No, He laid down His life. I believe they might have had to do that with those other two malefactors, the one on the right hand and the one on the left. Why do you say that? Because I know what I would have been trying to do if, Brother Jerry, they're trying to nail me to a cross. I'd be trying to kick and scream and punch and fight and everything else, even if I got the big old Roman soldiers and can't get them off of me. I wouldn't give up that easy. I'd be trying. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that because He laid down His life. He willingly laid down His life. He willingly did His Father's will. And He gave His life so that you and I might be saved. Because of His love, He laid down His life. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3, if you would. 1 John chapter number 3. And I tell you, sometime, probably most of you has done this at some point, but I encourage you sometime to take and sit down and look at John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. What a blessing both those verses are to look at, especially together. But 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby we know, we perceive what God's love is. Because," here it is, "He laid down His life for us." This morning, the last of the verse, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." I'm glad today to know, as a simple children's song says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And what does the Bible tell me? It tells me Jesus loves me, but it tells me what Jesus did because of His great love for me. As verse 2 of "Jesus Loves Me" talks about. As He took and laid down His life and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that you and I might be forgiven, so that you and I might be saved, so we might be lifted out of that miry pit and that clay that the book of Psalms talks about, so that we might be saved. He died there and He said, "Father, forgive them." He died out of His love so that we might be forgiven of our sin. But a lot of times we end looking at that saying and talking about it right there. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the last phrase really caught me in this saying from the cross. Because not only did the Lord say, "Father, forgive them," He said, "for they know not what they do." Have you ever thought about that? I mentioned this earlier, that I don't believe they realized who Jesus really was. They didn't believe. They were unbelievers. They didn't believe in who He was. And He said, "They don't know what they're doing, Lord." I believe they were blinded by their hard hearts and their sin. They didn't realize that this was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that they were crucifying. Instead, we know they cried out there, but even before Pilate, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." We know they wanted Him to be crucified. It kind of reminds me today of how sin blinds. Amen? Blinded by sin. They were blinded. As here they were crying out, "Crucify." Here they were nailing the Messiah, the one they had been wanting to come, they had been seeking for all these years, the fulfillment of all the prophecies from Isaiah and so on back in the Old Testament. But yet here they were crucifying Him, nailing Him to a cross, condemning Him. And if you will, they were pleased with it. This is what they wanted. They wanted Him to be crucified. They had wanted this to happen and to take place. Speaks to me today about, "For they know not what they do." Jesus realized that they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't realize what they were doing at this point. It reminds me today of how oftentimes people are blinded by sin and by Satan. Today people a lot of times have addictions to drugs or to alcohol or different sins that we could go into. They're blinded by those things. They don't even realize they've got a problem. They don't even realize that they're bound up in those things. Instead, they say, "No, if I get saved, I'd have to stop doing this." Like I got a good friend that says. But what they don't realize is they're the ones in bondage. They don't know what they do, if you will. They don't realize that they're blinded by Satan. They're blinded by sin. And here was these that was the same way as they crucified Jesus. They didn't know what they were doing, if you will. Yeah, they knew they were crucifying, but they didn't know who they were crucifying. They didn't know who He was, that He was the Son of God that's come to take away the sin of the world, the long-awaited Messiah. Satan blinds. And boy, sin blinds, just as it did back then, it does today. But thank the Lord that Jesus, the light of the world, came so that you and I might be saved. And that you and I might see, as the old song says, I saw the light. So that you and I might see the light, so that you and I might have our eyes open, those scales fall, so that we might be saved. Jesus come, and He died on Calvary. Father, forgive them, He said, for they know not what they do. Turn, if you will, back to Luke chapter number 23, and let's look down at verse number 43. Luke 23 and verse number 43. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in verse 43, we see the second thing. Luke 23 and verse number 43. I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong verse. Luke 23, 43. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, let's start reading back in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, have you ever thought about this for a minute? Picture this scene. Here Jesus is being crucified, innocent. Innocent, not guilty. But here He is, with one on the one side who's guilty and another on the other side who's guilty. The Bible says one of the malefactors railed on Him. I look up that word rail just to see what it meant, because let's be honest, when I think of the word rail today, I don't know what you think of. When I think of a rail, I think about a railroad rail or something like that. I say, like, what is railed talking about? We can kind of tell by the connotation that the word gives in the word railed that he was, if you will, blaspheming Jesus is what he was doing. He was blaspheming Jesus, mocking Jesus, blaspheming Jesus. Even there, here this guilty man was on the cross doing this. You say, how in the world could he do this to the one who was there dying on that cross so that he might be saved? But he did. They didn't realize, you see, who Jesus was, for they know not what they do. Here was this man hanging there. He said, railed on him. And notice what he said. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He said, if you really who you say, and then when he said save here, he didn't mean save. Like, forgive him of his sins, you know, go to, that's not what he meant here. If thou be Christ, save us. Let's get down, save thyself and us. In other words, what was he saying? Deliver us from this crucifixion. Get us off this cross, us and you. In other words, let's get out of here. If you're really who you say you are, then get us out of here from this stuff. Don't let us die. Don't let us be crucified. Deliver us. But the other answering, notice this, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Notice these words, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. He realized here who Jesus was. This man realized that this man was innocent, that Jesus Christ was innocent, and he also realized that him, along with the man that was railing on him, that was hanging there on the cross as well, that both of them, they were condemned. They were under condemnation. They were guilty of the crimes they had committed. They were guilty of death, and it reminds me a little bit of John 3 and verse number 17. We're talking about those that are condemned already. Because they have not believed on the only begotten Son of God, name of God. Condemned already. This morning, you see. Condemned already. Here these men were. He was condemned. He knew he was. He said, don't do that. Dost thou not fear God? Don't you know this is the Son of God? This is God. In verse 41, and we indeed justly, we're guilty. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. We deserve to be right where we're at. But this man, talking about Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. I find it so interesting that here the man on the cross that was condemned realized something that a lot of people don't even realize today and won't admit, that Jesus Christ was without sin. He's without sin today, folks. Even the one that was condemned there on the cross realized that he had done nothing wrong. Not just that he had done nothing to be, if you will, deserving to be on the cross, but he had done nothing amiss. He did not deserve to be on that cross. He had not sinned. He had not done anything wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ was innocent. He was sinless. This man had done, hath done nothing amiss, he said. And he said unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into, here's the word we talked about this morning in Sunday school, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here we see this morning that he asked the Lord, if you will, to remember him. He asked the Lord to take him to his kingdom, talking about that heavenly kingdom. He wanted to go to be to heaven with the Lord. He wanted to go to heaven with the Lord. He wanted, if you will, he was asking the Lord to save him. How do you get that out of this passage? Because he admitted he was a sinner. He was condemned. He admitted that. He realized who Jesus was. He placed his faith and belief in him. He said, Jesus has done nothing wrong. He's sinless. Lord, this man's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. I'm the sinner. He's the Lord. He's done nothing wrong. And he asked him to take him to heaven to be with him. Sounds like salvation to me. Sounds like to me what we call, and I don't like using these words, but the sinner's prayer. The prayer that a sinner prays. Not that it's something that that has to be repeated in a certain way or a certain form. I don't believe in that. I believe it's just a person doing like this man did. Admitting they're a sinner, believing in what Jesus did, confessing it with their mouth from the heart. That's how a person gets saved. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's exactly what this man did here on the cross. That you see, as he asked the Lord to remember him, to take him to be with him, he realized who Jesus was. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily, here's the second saying from the cross, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here Jesus basically told him, yes, you'll be with me today in paradise. Before this day's out, you'll be with me. In other words, you're going to heaven. Amen? You're saved. Without getting into everything else, that's what he said. And you see, I find it today that Jesus did not, if you will, turn this man away. He didn't say no. No, you're condemned, you're guilty, you've been too bad of a sinner, you've done too much wrong, it's too late in your life. No. You know, many today believe that they're too bad to be saved. They say, you don't know what I've did, Pastor. You don't know what I've did. You don't understand. I've done this and this and this for all these years of my life. God can't save me now. God can't forgive. Let me tell you something. He can. Here's a great example. A lot of people today don't believe in what the term that we use that's used often for this. A lot of people don't believe today in what's called bedside conversions. In other words, that right before death, somebody can take and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm a firm believer in that. Why? Here's one good example. Because this man wasn't, if you will, he didn't have cancer. This man didn't have pneumonia or something, or cirrhosis of the liver or some of these types of things. But here was this man that was right before the point of death. He was at death's door, we would say. And he knew that and he realized it. And he asked the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He said, you'll be with me. Here's an example of one that was a bad person that was condemned. Not nobody too bad. The Lord can't save and forgive. And also, I believe, as long as the Holy Spirit of God is still convicting a person, and as long as they have breath and they're still here, even if it's a second before the person dies, it's never too late. Now, if the Holy Spirit ain't convicted, that's a whole different story, but we know how long-suffering and merciful our God is. I give you a personal example of this. I think about my great-grandfather, who died several years ago, a couple years ago now. Didn't even, at most of his life, didn't even believe there was a God. At all. Got cancer, battled it for a while, skin cancers and things, and then finally, we'll just say, got the best of him, to sum it up. Got to the place where he was on his deathbed, and a few days before he died, we went over, me and Pastor Williams talked to him, and he come to know the Lord as his Savior. And I'm here today to tell you, I believe that when we get to heaven, I'm going to see my great-grandfather there. I believe he's just as much saved as you and I are that get saved when we're younger, middle-aged, whatever, and that have years still later to serve the Lord here on this earth. He's just as much saved. This man right here, he's just as much in heaven as hopefully, Lord willing, you will be one day. And I know I'll be one day. Amen? You see, today, folks, I believe that a person, as long as they're here, they've got breath, the Holy Spirit of God's convicting them, they can be saved. They can be saved. But you never know when your time here on earth will be up. And so today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. But you see here, this man, he asked the Lord to remember him, and the Lord said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. This shows us that nobody's too bad, and it's never too late as long as you're still here on this earth and the Holy Spirit of God's working and convicting. Today, I'm here to tell you, don't matter what you've done, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior if you don't know Him. Don't say, I've been too bad, or I've done this or done that. Today's the day. Today's the day. The Lord can save you today. Today, the Lord will save you. Notice with me, if you would, John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. And we'll see the third saying from the cross. John chapter number 19 and verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. The first, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first, He spoke to His Father. The first, He spoke to the condemned criminal. And now we see the third, He speaks to His mother and to His beloved disciple. John 19 and verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, I believe it was John, the beloved disciple, He said unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her, notice this, into his own house. To his own home, excuse me. Here we see the third saying from the cross, really two parts, in that Jesus, here He is again. I asked the question at the beginning of the message, if you were there on the cross, what would you say? Here's Jesus there on the cross. He talks to His Father to begin with. Then He talks to the condemned criminal that's beside Him. And now He's speaking to who? His mother. All three times so far that we've seen, He has, if you will, addressed the concerns and the cares and the needs of others, not Himself. I can tell you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't know exactly what I would have said there on the cross, but I hate to admit this morning, but the truth is, I wouldn't have been being concerned as much about others as He was. All up to this point, it was all about those around Him. Those that were out, not Himself. Most of us would have been, oh, poor, pitiful me, here I am being crucified. And rightfully so, if you're being crucified. I mean, you know, but here He is thinking about others. The Lord Jesus Christ, this shows us His love. His love. And how deep the love of God really is, as He was not concerned about Himself. It shows us that He was truly the Son of God, that He was God, that He was not, if you will, human, just plain flesh like you and I are. He was fully God and fully man. We see here in Luke 19, 25 through 27, He said, Woman, behold thy son, pointing not to Himself. He was not talking about, Woman, look at me. Instead, He was saying, Behold thy son, saying that now her son was John the apostle. That now John was the disciple. This was John the disciple, John, the beloved one, was the one that was to be, if you will, her son. And he was to take care of, notice verse 27, Behold thy mother. In other words, he was entrusting the care of his mother to his beloved disciple, John. This shows me that Jesus cared deeply for his mama. He cared deeply for his mother. Now today, we have to be careful when it comes to Mary, because so many people take and lift her up on a pedestal where she don't belong. But the Bible does say she was highly favored. She was a godly woman. She was a woman that served the Lord. She was a woman that was blessed. We know that. Not taken away from, she was a virgin. Not taken away from any of that whatsoever. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved His mom. And here He was there on the cross of Calvary, concerned about the care of His mom. He knew she was going to need somebody to take care of her, to help her. And here He entrusted that care with His disciple, with John the Beloved. Reminds me today, how does this apply to us? It applies in looking at how Jesus cared about others the whole time He was there on the cross before Himself. But it also applies, I believe, in showing us of how those of us that are children need to take care of our parents all we can. And I found it interesting that Sunday the Lord would allow us. I told you I wanted to do this last week, right? I told y'all that, if you remember. I wanted to start these seven sayings last week, but it wasn't what the Lord wanted. And I found it interesting that what a perfect example the Lord would take and give to us this week of someone that cares about taking care of his mom and his parents. I thought about Brother Brent. Here he is, dropped his job, dropped everything, the next day went, took off to Michigan. Left everything behind, whatever, you know, took care of some things, but he's gone. Why? To take care of his mom. To take care of his dad. And it spoke to me about if the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned about this, even in His moment, in His point of death, should not we? Should not we? And here was the Lord Jesus Christ. He could no longer, if you will, He was no longer going to be here. He was getting ready to leave. He was going to be gone. And so He entrusted the care with someone else. Oftentimes when parents get older, mom and dad did this, especially with dad's dad. Took and he lived with us for a while and took care of him. When it come to the place and the point where we couldn't any longer, Dad took and entrusted his care to someone else who could take care of him. But he always made sure he was taken care of. Even if he couldn't do it, that somebody else was doing it and to keep a check on him and keep an eye on him and make sure everything was being taken care of and the needs were being met. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ caring about his mother even in this time of his own departure and his own death, as he's here being crucified. Think about this. I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm selfish this morning. I think most of us are. If we're honest, we wouldn't be there on that cross looking down at mama, looking at somebody saying, make sure you take care of her or daddy. We wouldn't be doing that. Yeah, we want our parents to be taken care of, but look at where Jesus is and look at what he's doing. Look at what he's saying this morning. It just amazes me to see our Lord Jesus. And this morning I believe, why did he say all these things? Why did he do all of this? I believe it could be summed up in one thing really this morning. It was because of his love. His love for his mama. His love there for the malefactor, for the one that needed to be saved, for the lost sinner we might say. And his love for you and for me. That's why he did all this and endured all these things there on the cross. I ask you this morning two questions in closing. We'll look at the rest later. I ask you first off, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, he was born to die on Calvary. A lot of people make a lot, and we should, of when Jesus was born here on this earth. But why was he born? Why do we celebrate and have a day that we set aside? And hopefully you do it this way. Every day should be a day of celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. Every day should be celebrating His birth, death, life, resurrection. But why do we have a day that we especially celebrate His resurrection? Why do we have a day that we specifically celebrate His birth? Why? Because, folks, of how much He loved us. He did it so that you and I might be saved. This morning, do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know Him? You see, this morning it isn't things, it isn't works, it isn't membership. You know, I thought about this morning. I want everybody, I'll just go ahead and just put it out here, I want everybody to be a member of Faith Baptist Church. I want everybody to. But Not everybody will be. And it's not the Lord's will for everybody to be. But I want everybody to be. I want everybody to get saved in Chester, the whole county. That's just not just the city, but the whole county. I want everybody to get saved. And like every pastor in this area ought to say this. I want everybody in whole Chester County to get saved. And next Sunday morning, for all of them to show up to church and all of them to come down front and say, hey, I want to join the church. We want to serve the Lord together here. We're saved. We're born again. We're washed in the blood. And we want to serve the Lord together. Wouldn't that be a blessing? They're saved, baptized, want to join, want to serve the Lord together. But you know what? Even more than that, my heart's desire is to see Chester saved. To see them saved. Yeah, I want people to come and join the church, but let me tell you something. My heart's desire is to see people saved. I want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to see people come to know and to see what Jesus did on Calvary. To see how He shed His blood, how He died, how He rose again 3 days later. And to come to know Him. Amen. That's the goal. That's the goal, is to see people saved. To worship and honor the Lord when we gather together in this place. By proclaiming the message of the gospel. By proclaiming His word. By worshiping Him, because He is worthy of our worship and our praise. This morning, I ask you, do you know Him? And I ask you, secondly, this. When's the last time you thanked Him for what He did for you? You say, well, I pray every day and say, Lord, thank You for saving me. And to be honest with you, I do that every day too. But when's the last time you really bowed down, maybe even with tears in your eyes, and said, Lord, thank You for what You did on Calvary for me. Thank You for shedding Your blood. Thank You for enduring the spitting upon, the scourging, the pain, everything, the nails, everything, so that I might be saved. It was for me He died, and for you He died. When's the last time you thanked Him? And when's the last time you shared with someone else what He did for you?